What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 192 of the PS3 Blogcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
And, you know, I was thinking, I was out doing some errands real quick. I was like, man, we got to rename it just the PS4 Blogcast. We hardly talk about PS3 anything. I meant to rename it back when PS4 launched, but I forget the time. There's still some PS3 games you can talk about, but
I don't think I've even touched my PS3 since PS4 came out, and I had every intention to, and I don't know where it is now.
It's there are some things I thought about booting up and playing a ways back, but I don't want to do that.
Gone forever.
Yeah. Anyways, let's see here. We can go ahead and get into this. Not a lot of news. Let's see. What was new? New releases this week was, Crypt of the NecroDancer. That was this week, right? I'm not crazy. And then...
You are, but it was this week.
Okay. And then... Yes, I think that was it. I don't think anything huge came out this week. But I did pick up Crypt of the NecroDancer. I haven't played a whole lot of it yet because I'm still playing Talos Principle. But I did play some of it. It's a fun little interesting game. I look forward to playing some more of it, though. But anyways, let's go ahead and jump to the news. It was funny listening to podcasts before this news came out. I was catching up on some because I was behind, and some people were like, you know, yeah, Bethesda won't be at E3 this year because they don't need to be. And then it's like, then Bethesda announced they're going to be at E3. It was funny. Their conference will take place on June 12th at 7 p.m. They'll be holding a showcase at E3. Obviously, they could show a lot of stuff. Doom launches. They announced the launch date for Doom. Which is coming in May, so they could probably talk about maybe post-release content for that. They could also talk about Dishonored 2, maybe announce a release date for that. DLC for Fallout, maybe Evil Within 2, who knows? Maybe.
I'd be happy if it was Dishonored 2 talk, and then Fallout DLC.
Well, I'm assuming they'll show Dishonored 2 footage, since they didn't show any gameplay footage, so they got to show something. And then it'd be nice if we saw the next Wolfenstein game or whatever Machine Games is doing next. That would be interesting. I kind of hope it would be another Wolfenstein, but I don't know what they would do. But we'll see. So there's that. What else? Which I guess goes along with the news of we talked about. Didn't we talk about last week? Because last week was when EA said they weren't going to do E3. They're going to do their own little thing.
I thought they just said, yeah, they said they were going to do their own little thing.
A lot of people... Yeah, could we talk about it? Because they said everything was playable. So then if everything they're showing is playable, then they can't necessarily announce new things that aren't. So they'd have to be pretty far along. But it'll be interesting to see if other people follow suit as the years go on. Just because E3 is only press, not Gamescom where they have press days and then public days. But we'll see what happens down the line.
You know, a lot of companies have tried to start their own thing aside from EA, and aside from E3, and it never really works well. Nintendo is probably the only one that's ever done it decently well, and the only reason it works for them is because, one, they don't really have anything they can present at E3, and they haven't for a long while.
Mm-hmm.
But two, they're large enough that they have a following. People don't really go, hey, I'm going to buy every EA game that comes out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the EA conferences, past 7 years have always been really kind of bad, just the presentation-wise, or they show, a laser tag game, or they talk about fitness. It's they have bad jokes. So I'm like, this isn't working. I never watch the EA conference, just because it's always, I can expect the exact same stuff.
Right. It seems like only the bad companies want to duck out of E3, which is kind of funny because they're the ones that can't do it on their own.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool that they're doing it to where the public can play the games. I think that's pretty cool. But we'll see. Yeah, exactly. Because it'd be funny if it was then everybody starts following suit and everybody does different, their own separate thing. And then after a while, they're going to be this is kind of dumb. Let's all get back together and do E3 again. But
I don't think they'll ever split it up completely, because part of the thing about E3 is convincing people. I mean, I know a lot of it's for investors and, the media and everything, but a big part of it is also trying to convince people to buy your console. And if you're already a fan of Sony, and you're just watching the Sony one, then you're probably never going to check out, you know, Microsoft, and you might miss out on games that would actually make you want to switch or buy it as a second console.
Yeah, but sometimes things like they'll show stuff at Sony's, but like they might announce something and then like a game from Ubisoft or EA, and then you watch their conference to see more information about the game, but it's just announced at Sony's press conference.
Nobody has time for that shit.
I do that. I don't do it live. I watch it later because EA is always in the morning. So I just, I mean, I guess the conferences for Sony are in the evening because Microsoft does it in the morning, but then I just watch the Sony conference Monday night when I get home. Let's see what else we got. PlayStation Plus vote to play feature will be back on February 9th. I was wondering why it went away. I was like, I guess it wasn't that popular, but I felt like if anybody's voting, then it should still be good. And I felt like they didn't do it enough to then decide, oh, we're not getting as many people involved as we want. But it's like, shouldn't you give something like, because it's once a month, essentially, you're having a vote. And it's like, oh, the first 3 months aren't working that well. Okay, we're going to stop. It's like, well, you got to kind of give that time to, you know, grow.
Well, they only did it for 1 month.
Oh, it was only the 1 month?
I was going to say, didn't they only do it once?
Okay.
They did it for when Grow Home was available, and they never did it again. It's like, well, you know, you didn't really give anyone time to actually get used to this.
Okay, yeah, that's not like, time at all.
And they announced it, and it was like they gave people a week's heads up before it was done. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't in like an obvious spot on the PlayStation when you logged in.
Yeah.
So if you hadn't read about it in, you know, a week on IGN or something, you wouldn't have known it existed.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. By the way, since the camera was on, you can see now I don't suffer from gingivitis. So.
I don't.
He's still gonna draw you as a ginger.
No, you're uncolored right now, but it was. I don't remember what it was. I think it was the picture of you and Shuhei, and your beard looked like red or something, so it confused me.
No, I gotta go look at this picture while I'm talking. Maybe, but
maybe it's just the light because it was like way, like, overexposed.
Yeah, because it was. Yeah, because if you the light does make my. Like my beard kind of look, there might be like a little reddish brown in my beard, but it makes it look way more red than it because of the lighting and the bad quality of the photo. Especially my sideburns aren't red, but they look kind of reddish in the thing. But anyways,
I was more amazed to find out that Zaya is blonde
just right now.
Yeah. It's like, what? You dyed your hair a color?
Right?
Oh my god.
No, I stripped all the color out and I've been dyeing it so bright for so long that it's just blonde underneath now. So I guess I'm blonde for a couple days while I wait for my dye to come in.
You gotta do that thing where it's dark on the top and then as you flip your hair underneath layers, it's just multicolored.
No, I want to do that so bad.
It's gonna be so much work.
I think you need to bring back bleach tips, like from the 90s.
Yikes.
You gotta get
that's gonna be real
necklace.
Hard to do considering the blonde is all the way up to my roots.
Mm-hmm. Gotta get the beach shorts.
Yep.
And
barbed wire tattoo or tribal.
Yeah, definitely. Or the garden
tribal
tattoo.
Barbed wire.
Oh shit.
Really ramp up the douchebag factor.
Listen to some Sugar Ray.
Oh my god.
I just wanna fly.
It's like the only song they did.
They have another song. The song isn't called Runaway. It's called something else, but I like that other song. They used to listen to that a lot. But, they also did a cover of Abracadabra from Steve Miller Band. Let's see. Moving on to news.
Anyway.
There's a game called Battalion 1944. Operation Desert Shield. It's for PC, PS4, and Xbox. It's on Kickstarter right now. It's from a British developer named Bulkhead Interactive. And their goal is to create an online experience akin to Call of Duty and Medal of Honor titles, but as a World War II shooter on present-day consoles. I like the idea. They're not asking for a whole lot in their Kickstarter, which is interesting. Let's see where the Kickstarter's at right now. So they're only asking for $212,252. That's U.S., I guess, because they only wanted £148,872. And they're at 142,500 with 25 days to go and 5,000 backers, essentially.
But so it's obviously just a single player game then.
No, it's multiplayer.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's probably going to be just multiplayer then. Which, like I said, I kind of do miss some World War II shooters, but the one I miss is Day of Defeat. I don't necessarily miss a whole lot of the other ones. But I watched it, and it's like, yeah, it would be interesting to see, like, especially when I think of, like, if DICE did a World War II shooter, but with, like, their updated engines for destructibility and just made it, like, the Bad Company stuff and just super destruction. The trees all get destroyed. You know, buildings can get entirely fucked up, but maybe more so than they do in Battlefield 4. It's like Battlefield 4, they take a lot of damage and then eventually they crumble. It'd be nice if there are some more isolated areas of destruction and then it came toppling down. But I watched the video for it. It looks interesting. Obviously, it's just...
How are they paying for the servers?
Yeah, that's the thing is I don't know. Like I said, this money isn't a lot, but a lot of times Kickstarters are also just to show that there's interest. So then you get investors, like people investing, go, hey, you know, okay, you have this, and that. It's not like that money is going to help them cover all costs, and that's true for a lot of video game Kickstarters. Is that money isn't necessarily everything. It's just what you need to show that there's interest to get more money from other things.
But, to get like development off the ground, at least.
Yeah, and it runs
the initial investment.
It runs off Unreal Engine 4. But yeah, when I watch it, it looks pretty interesting. Like I said, looks like it'd be fun. Like I said, I wouldn't mind, especially if it was a small teams or something, kind of like Rainbow. Just a few on a few, that'd be kind of cool. But yeah, they have their whole Kickstarter has all this information on like game modes. They'll have standard stuff, capture flag, deathmatch, domination. We'll also bring in new game modes that we're in the process of testing, and we'll also be turning to the community for any requests, suggestions, or ideas for game modes. But yeah, it looks pretty interesting. They have a lot of... anytime there's a video game Kickstarter, I always look at the highest tier rewards because I'm curious like what they are. Like that one game they have out right now on Kickstarter, which is, it's not, because didn't Allison Rose change their name to Visage or whatever? Like the game name? Allison Rose is that PT-inspired game.
Yeah, I remember what it is. I don't know if it ever changed its name.
Because I saw Visage on Kickstarter, which looks just like it was Allison Rhodes just renamed, because I thought they said they renamed it. And that looks really good. And watching that demo was super creepy, even though it was like there wasn't any like jump scare stuff, but still like you're waiting for stuff to happen. But that has some interesting Kickstarter rewards where like if you back at super high amounts, you can get like your family pictures in the game as family photos in the game. And I thought that was kind of cool. You can have your face in there for, I think, like, I tell you something for, like, a ghost, so maybe, like, person that died, and maybe your face kind of shows up at one point, but it's pretty interesting. For, like, this, the highest tier reward for this is, well, it's already taken, but it's, like, you become an ultimate elite backer. Exclusive signed golden disc box copy of the game, standard PC key, a GameCube PS4, closed alpha beta, Steam early access.
Did you just say GameCube?
No, Game Key.
Oh.
Like a C key, but
I got that.
Yeah.
Dumb moment there. Let it go.
Visit their studio for a day, meet the developers, and be involved in the development of Battalion. It has two travel and expenses not included. Of course, it's not. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there. Custom skins, custom identifiers showing that you get a platinum personalized Battalion Founder 1944 dog tags, soundtrack stuff like this. Your name in the credits. But yeah, I always like looking at the high tier stuff just in case something's like really interesting. Like, yeah, I kind of want to donate $500-something to get this tier reward. But yeah, so that'd be interesting. We'll see how that goes. I don't know if I'll back it, but I could see picking it up when it came out because I wouldn't mind trying a World War II shooter.
What's the last game you've backed on Kickstarter?
None. I've never backed a game on Kickstarter. I bought Amplitude, which I wanted, but I didn't back it. But I knew I would buy it once they released it. Like this, I'm not going to back it, but I'll buy it. Like, they do have that tier for you know, $13, you get the, let's see, limited edition back thing for PC, Steam Early Access, standard key, Steam key for the whole game and game locker, and then they have one that's a few bucks more, but you get the PS4 or Xbox One version. Like, the Steam ones are a little cheaper. Obviously, the PC games are cheaper, and the PS4 and Xbox ones are like $30. But yeah, there's that. Moving along, let's see. We already talked about Doom getting release date when we mentioned Bethesda. But there was a new PS4 bundle revealed for Uncharted 4, which I really like the color on the controller, because that two-tone that they do for the controllers, and I really like that blue. I also like the blue on the PS4, especially that says Uncharted in gold. I just think it's weird that Nathan Drake's on it, but the line goes through him, so it looks kind of funny. but I do like that the PlayStation logo is gold and the Uncharted's gold as well. But I won't be forking out any money for it. They also have the headset in the color gray-blue, as they call it.
I'm still waiting on those silver, black, and crystal ones.
I want the... Man, I need to put my Bloodborne faceplate on my PS4, but there's no need. I kind of wish that... I was talking to my cousin. Kind of wish they did more faceplates as... like collector's edition kind of things. So like statues just give you faceplates for a game. I mean, I wouldn't put them on there, but I could see like hanging them up on the wall behind my TV, just have all these faceplates with these nice
pieces. I'd probably change them out occasionally.
If I had my PS4 on display, like if I had a different setup for my entertainment center, yeah, I would. Like I think that's the one thing not stop me from putting on my faceplate for my Bloodborne one is that it's way over there and I don't need to put on because I'm not going to see it. I just bought the faceplate because I wanted it. And I was like, I want this because it looks nice. I almost bought that statue they had, but that thing was a pricey beast.
The life-size one?
No, it was a...
That you posed in front of? Yeah, you should buy that one.
That one?
Oh, no, that was Dark Souls. Never mind.
That was Dark Souls, yeah.
Still, you should buy it.
But yeah, there's like a couple $100 for the Bloodborne little statue thing, but...
Jeez.
Yeah. But other than that, I guess that's basically it for the news. I'm trying to think of what else there was... Game-wise, I know The Witness is selling well, but people are powering it on PC. Other than that, I don't think I'm trying to look through any other... I like these articles. I keep seeing these articles from What Culture. It's like 10 video game finales that totally ruin their trilogies. It's like these stupid things they write. Stop loading. I'm curious what they say.
He's been sucked in. He says they're stupid, but he got tricked.
No, because I sometimes I'm curious, like, sometimes they, depending on who it's written by, they might have legit reasonings for this game or this thing did this and X should have happened, but it didn't.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have legit points, but other times it's just dumb, and this won't load, so I'm not going
to
do it.
I'm trying to think of a trilogy that had such a bad ending it ruined the series for me, and I can't think of one.
The thumbnail they have for it is Doom 3, which doesn't make any sense because Doom's not a trilogy. It's like, it's the same concept over and over and over. It's not like Doom 3 picks up right after Doom 2. It's not how it works. But the screenshot they have is for Doom. I'm sure they have Mass Effect. Let's see. Yeah, for some... Okay, I don't know why Doom 3 is in here. But they have Doom 3 in here, so whatever. That's...
Maybe they just mean like... sequenced games, like not necessarily continuous stories, but like games and series.
But they said their trilogy, and it's like, it's not like the ending to Doom 3 was like, oh my god, that totally ruins Doom 1 and 2. Like, it'd be like, this movie, it's like when they remake a movie and go, oh, this ruins my childhood. No, it doesn't. Those movies still exist.
Back and watch the other movie.
Yeah, you don't have to watch the new Ninja Turtles or whatever. It's like, you can enjoy the old ones. It's not like they... It's like if the Last of Us movie comes out and it's bad, it's like, oh, this totally ruins the game. It's like, no, the game is still great.
It'd have to be something pretty unique in order to actually ruin a game like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack 3 they have in here.
Jack 3 was awesome.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know. Maybe I'll read why they say it. Like, maybe it's just someone who...
Jack 3 kicked ass.
Was the ending?
The ending was pretty satisfying, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, that series, like that trilogy, it actually had a surprisingly decent story. It had great gameplay. That nullifies the list right there for me.
Yeah. They also had this fucking site takes 20 years to load, so fuck it. Never mind. I'm not even bothering. But yeah, so there's that. Let me turn on Wi-Fi. And like I said, I guess that was basically it. We can just talk about what we're playing. Are you still playing The Witness, Izzy?
I beat The Witness.
Oh, nice.
Did you do that? When I sent you the text saying that they need to send me to space because I beat The Witness.
Oh, okay. Did you, how many puzzles did you finish?
I finished like 500. Well, I guess it depends on how you count them. I finished like 510 of the base puzzles, and then there's a lot of the secret ones, which I did most of.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did most of them. They have obelisks in game that kind of keep track of how many of the secret puzzles you've done.
Okay.
And it tells you right on your like save. And I did the challenge area and got all the I got the platinum trophy. So I think I got most of it. It's still a fun world to wander around in, and it'll be one of those games where I go back to occasionally just to like search for new things or just go through a new playthrough and try to go a different direction or something after I've forgotten how to do things. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really solid game.
Yeah.
And if you ever go to the Reddit, they're trying to come up with all these crazy theories for it.
Yeah, I try to avoid it because luckily most people when they talk about the Witness, they kind of bleep out stuff, like especially if it has to do with the puzzle solving. But then I'll listen to a podcast where they don't do anything. They just say stuff and they say, oh yeah, this mechanic here. And then it's like, well, I kind of want to discover that. So I skip an entire chunk of a podcast because I'm like, I'll get to this down. That's the problem with putting it off. Like I'm playing Talos Principle. It was like, oh, I'll play Witness later, but I don't.
Well, I don't mean talking about like the solutions to puzzles. People are trying to. So the Witness doesn't like. I mean, it's a puzzle game. It doesn't really have a huge story. It's more about exploring the world.
Right.
But there are elements in it. People are reading into it like they do with like Dark Souls, where they're reading into it, trying to find like a hidden story somewhere, and it's kind of fascinating. Like I disagree with most of it, but it's kind of fascinating to watch.
Yeah, but in Dark Souls, at least that story, they can piece together based on descriptions of items that they find. So like that, you can get basically a good idea of what's going on, and then you can try to fill in some of the gaps with theories based on the other items. I don't expect there's items in The Witness you pick up that have description that tell you about a king that came across the land and got in a war with giants.
Right. No, it's all about the puzzles and everything, but...
Mm-hmm.
It's still really interesting to read because people will find like it has a lot of cool scenery around it. So people will try to piece together a story from the scenery they see.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of the stuff they come up with is really interesting. It's just most likely not true, but it's fascinating still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the Talos Principle, there's like there is a story there, but, what's going on, like piecing it together is kind of fun. But I'm over halfway through that game, I guess.
How do you like it so far?
Oh, I like it a lot. I like the puzzle styles. It reminds me a lot of what I loved about Portal, except obviously I don't have a Portal gun. But the problem I have with it is that it's like, one, I guess like I understand everything pretty easily, so it's like I blow through puzzles pretty quick. Like I don't get stumped, but then it'd be like, once my meter's like empty and I play for too long, then I get to like one puzzle that totally just wrecks it. And I'm like, okay, I'm totally stuck on it. And either I have to stop playing or just stick at it for 10, 15 minutes and then I finally solve it. The one thing that is actually difficult to do is there's like these hidden gold. Did you play it?
No, but I've seen the speed run of it, so I know what you're talking about.
There are hidden gold stars that you can find, and some of them are really easy to figure out, but then some of them are like at first I didn't even notice they were in the game until I found one that was like blatantly right in my face and I knew how to get it. And I realized, oh, okay, so there's these hidden stars. So I went back and I tried to find them. You don't know where they are when you go into an area, you just know how many are in a particular zone, and each zone has like anywhere from 3 to 6 puzzles, different puzzles, and then it's in one of those areas and you might have to do multiple things to unlock it. And some of those can be pretty tricky. Especially when it's like you have to use stuff from one area to help you activate stuff across the map. Across the map. And so some of those can be really challenging. But I do, I really like the puzzles and everything. They introduce a new mechanic. It's like, it's easy to understand. The one thing I don't like that I feel also makes it a little easy is that every zone, like every little puzzle area you zone into, it tells you the name of that puzzle. But the name of the puzzle, like, kind of gives away what you have to do, which I don't like. So it's like I walk into an area and it goes, I think there's something like, what was the name of it? It was like Deception, I think was the name of it. And so you go through and it looks like you should be able to get this beam across through this last section. Like it should be super easy. Like that's the most obvious way to do it, but you can't. So you have to do it by shortcutting the first section. So it's like, obviously, you know, because the name's Deceptions, it's deceiving you. So there's one where it's like, because like two bombs trapped, or you know, like just these weird names that tell it. They're simple names, but they kind of, like I said, they give away what, right. Or there's one that was called like So Many Jammers. And then you go in and there's these three jammers you have to find, and you need to bring all three back with you because, well, one you could tell because there's so many sections you have to use them at. But yes, that's the only problem I have is they kind of tell you, they give you too much of a clue as what you have to do based on what's in the puzzle. But there are some really interesting things that they add in there, and I like it a lot. It's one of those games, though, I don't know if I could watch someone else play it. Kind of like with Portal, like, If I solve these puzzles super quick and then I'm watching else someone solve them, they take a while. I'm like, can't do that.
Yeah. The speed run of it was really interesting, but that's not about puzzles as much as platforming.
Yeah. it's funny that the one puzzle I did get stuck on for a while, just because it was like one of those puzzles where like I'd been playing for a long time. And I got stuck. I went back and watched it just to see if there was actually a different way to do it, and maybe I just did it some extra way. Like typically, there's only one way to do something. Actually, except for the gold stars, every puzzle is basically it's one way to do it. And I thought like maybe I did it some really back-ass sorts of way, but I watched it. It's like, nope, did it exactly what I was supposed to. It was just took me a while to get there because I was like, I just stuck. But yeah, finding some of the gold stars can be a super bitch, especially when you know like this is what I need to do. Okay, how do I get this there? Or there's a hidden path that leads to some switch or a balcony so that you can set. An item on to use across the map. Like it can be super tough, or especially when it's like you have to put a box on a mine and then jump on the box and then jump onto the wall, drop over the ledge to find a hidden spot to get an extra item to bring back around, because you can't take items through the it's kind of like Portal. When you run through the field, the electric fields, it wipes out the portals that you had in the other area. So it's like if you take an item and try to run through these purple gateways, it just makes the item drop out of your hands. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. I'm probably going to beat it soon. I don't know how long it'll take me to get to the next. I'm in the last major chunk. So I just have to find... I have to do the last section. I think it's 8 sections, so it'll have probably 4 puzzles in each. But then I don't know if the game ends there, technically, as the false ending, and then if I do all the extra stuff, then I can get the true ending. But now I have to go back. I take all my gold stars, and then I have to take them to these doors, unlock these puzzles, and they take me into these more challenging puzzle areas that I have to get these other items for that let me unlock this section of a tower that you're not supposed to go in. But yeah, it's pretty, like, it's really interesting. The story elements I'm curious about too, because there's like, so you get in, you're a robot. Obviously, like, you know you're a robot. You can see your robot hands. But you get on these terminals, and there's like this god voice that's talking to you, telling you about you're in this garden. But every now and then you'll be going through, and you can realize stuff is glitching in the environment. So you realize you're not in the real world. You're in a simulation. Or at least to some computer-generated world. And so you talk in these terminals, and there's someone you're talking to. You don't know who they are, but they just ask you some questions, and you discuss them. But then someone else starts talking to you, but they keep getting cut off every now and then. And like, the voice of the Lord tells you not to go into this tower, to stay away from it, for it's only leads to death. But if you go into the tower, the Lord loses your positioning, can't find you. So then you know that obviously he's not omnipotent. You go into one zone later on and it's all rusted and destroyed. And then all of a sudden the voice just is like, what is this? And he's like, you can't mess with my garden. And then you see the whole place start to glitch out and he changes it back to the Egyptian tile set he had in the particular zone you're in. And he fixes it. So it's like, there's some shit going on you don't know about. And there's these QR codes that are up everywhere and they're all from different subjects that have tried to do the puzzles, but they're all named a specific way. So like some will be named, what was that?
What? Oh, I was laughing to myself quietly.
I did. I was curious what you're laughing about.
No, I was laughing because I saw a speedrun of Talos Principle where they showed one of the QR codes and it was a Easter egg for a Harry Potter fan fiction book that someone wrote called Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality. And I was laughing my ass off because it was like the most obscure reference in a game to a fan fiction book that, you know, someone wrote for a completely different unrelated thing.
That's funny. But what I like about the QR codes is that they'll be named. So some the person that left them, their name is like sheep version .11, whatever. And they're always, they're unsure of everything they say. And they're always like, you have to follow the sound of God or whatever. And then there's the dog who is always saying everything's bullshit, basically. And then there's also some new ones I found. I forget what their monikers are. But they see some interesting stuff.
The dog has a good understanding of life.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I'm curious. There's also these audio dialogues you can pick up from an actual human person. Like, cause you can read these emails from. It's like something was going to happen. I guess I won't get into it, but like you learn that in the real world, anyways, something was going to happen, and but you don't know what. And there's these scientists that are working together for something, but you don't know what. But then this one person starts leaving these audio diaries that are all inside the simulation in random locations, and you can listen to them. She starts just talking about random stuff. But it's interesting. I have my ideas of what's going on, but I'm curious to see how right I am once I get it, but I'm obviously going to have to get to the top of this tower. But yeah, I really like the game. Like I said, I like the puzzles a lot. It'll be weird going from this and like straight to The Witness or something.
So what made you decide to buy it on PS4? Since I know you had it on Steam, but I saw you playing it online a few days ago.
When I bought it on Steam, it was like on super sale for like $2 or something. And I figured I'll play it. And I loaded it up on Steam and then I was playing it. And I was like, I don't like playing with the mouse and keyboard. And I was like, well, I know I can hook up a controller to it. But I really don't want to go through all that right now, so I just bought it on PS4. Plus, PS4 came with the DLC as well, and I didn't want to rebuy the DLC, but I just rather play it there. Like I said, it wasn't like I was going to buy it on PS4 initially when it got announced, but it's like the only reason I bought it on Steam is because it was $2 during a sale. And I was like, sweet. But so I just bought it on there. I just didn't want to do the mouse keyboard, and like I said, I didn't want to try to. I read like a thing, oh, how to hook up the PS4 remote. Super easy. You just plug it in, you turn it on, you hit the Bluetooth, hit pair, problem solved, there you go. But I was like, I don't know. Like, I gotta make sure it works. And, that the Steam profile for the game picks up the controller. But I'd be like, oh, you can only have an Xbox or something. Like, when their controllers. But, so I didn't want to deal with that.
Tough life.
Yeah, it was just no big deal. So I bought that and The Witness at the same time. So I'd be like, fuck it. I was going to wait to get The Witness way later, but when I was actually going to play it, but I figured, let's buy them both right now. No big deal. They're not that big file size-wise, so. But yeah, that's it. What are you playing, Zaya?
I was playing Blade and Soul, but I got to the forest with giant spiders and was like, well, I'm done with this game.
Is there no way around it?
Nope. I'm not into the game enough to power through it like I was with when I was doing the Tree of Savior beta. It's like yeah, there's disgusting spiders and there was a big spider boss, but like I was playing with my friend at the time, so I was like, you go deal with that. I'm gonna go over here in the corner and you can handle the boss. But I really liked the game, so I was just like, I'm gonna power through it and I'm just gonna get past the spidery forest area. But Blade and Soul is just, it's pretty, but I just don't care because I don't care about the story and I just, meh.
Yeah, I was wondering if the story
is not enough to it.
It's just, granted, I didn't get very far in it, but it wasn't grabbing me enough to continue to care, you know? So yeah. I was just like, I don't care about this. So I just went back to playing 14 and working on my relic.
Nice. I need to log in. I haven't logged in since last weekend, I think.
I really want to get at least the first stage of my relic done before 3.2, but I'm so lazy about it, I don't think it's going to happen. But oh well.
As you should be.
Yeah, right? Like, I'd rather just do Void Arc and get Glamour items.
How do you even have room for all the shit you collect?
I do not. Both of my retainers are full, and once 3.2 comes out, I'm going to have to buy another retainer because more glamour items are coming out.
I think I might dive back into it with 3.2.
You should. It'd be fun.
I'm looking for a new game to play, or rather an old one to play again.
You should just play Talos Principle.
I have a lot of games, and next week is going to be bad since there's a lot coming out next week that I want to get.
Yeah, Dying Light expansion of that next week, too.
Well, it's Dying Light, the Enhanced Edition, Unravel, and Firewatch. And Firewatch is probably what I'm most excited for.
If Firewatch doesn't take long to play, I might play that before I play The Witness, just because The Witness is going to be a billion hours.
Yeah, I think my final time on The Witness with everything I did was like 40 hours.
Yeah. I don't have that much time to do that, because it'd be like I could play Monday after work and Fridays after work and then Saturdays and maybe a little bit on Sundays, but like at night on weekdays it's Rainbow Six all the way, because so, that game is a ton of fun. The problem is they just did an update for it, which they added a lot of they did a lot of tweaks to the game, but they also, I think, because they pushed out the patch a little too quick, because they wanted to make it for their DLC, they also, there's some new bugs that came out with it, which is a little unfortunate, but I haven't been affected by too many of them, so it hasn't really impacted my experience. But a buddy of ours finally got back into playing the game. He played during the beta, but he picked up the game recently and he got into it. But now he just seems to be having a tough time. Obviously, he doesn't have map awareness, but then it feels like every time he gets killed, he's always like, what the fuck? How did he not die? Or like something like that. So it feels like maybe he might get affected by it a little too much. But that game is still just... That game's so much fun. Except when you have like a shitty, super shitty teammates that don't do stuff. It's like one guy's got the diffuser. He's like, what are you doing? We're by A. This is totally scary. No one's here. Come plant the diffuser. Come on. Get over here. And they get shot. And you're like, I got to go pick that shit up. But yeah, that game is so good. I have like all this footage of recordings. Like, I really got to just cut this together and make a nice little video clips. But I haven't gotten around to it yet.
What was the Crypt of the Necrodancer comment you had to say?
I had a comment on Crypt of the Necrodancer?
I don't know. You were asking about it before. I assumed he did. Maybe I'm crazy.
No. I had a comment on it. Like I said, I played it a little bit. Just skip shot. Like I said, it's really interesting. I don't do that style of game traditionally. Not the music part, but like the... I guess...
Roguelike.
Yeah. I don't... do that, but the way the game plays, it's that you have to move and attack to the beat, and if you mess up, you're fucked. I kind of like that thing, plus the music's pretty good, so. And the song I like is basically in World 1-2, so I get to get it right there, and then I get the full version of it during, I think at a boss fight or something, but it's really interesting. I like it so far. Like I said, I haven't played a ton of it, but I guess, like, you can also only progress through a level until the song runs out.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know. It's like I went to go replay it at one point. I was doing it, and I was like, boop, song's end. And then it's like, it kicks me back. It's like, oh, I didn't realize I only had so much time. Because there's also like these hidden paths everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah.
That is a platinum trophy I will never get in my life.
You can play that game with a DDR pet, too.
Can you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is super silly.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, it would.
That game, like, have you looked at the trophy list for that game?
Nope.
It is impossible. One of them is beating all zones mode, so beating all of the levels with a character that can't pick up anything, and if you miss a beat, you die.
I feel like missing a beat would be pretty easy to not fail at, but I guess it would depend. You said any zone?
You have to beat all the zones.
Oh, all the zones. Okay.
So you have to beat all the zones in a row with a character that can't pick up items, and you can't miss a beat.
Mm. Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, fuck that.
That sounds really tough. Unless you just learn it. Are you good to go? You just
know the best. It's a roguelike, so you can't learn it.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, true.
Like I said, that'll be a platinum trophy I never get.
Someone will have it.
Someone will have it.
Yeah, cool. Some insane person.
Yeah.
Who does nothing but play Crypt of the Necromancer all day.
Necrodancer. They dance.
No Did dance. I say Mancer?
Yeah.
Oh, Dancer.
No problem. But, other than that, anything else you can think of that might have happened and talk about? I don't think there's much else. Saw that article about Kurt Russell breaking that guitar on accident. That was funny.
What?
On the set of The Hateful Eight, he broke a like 180-year-old guitar or something. I don't know, some crazy guitar.
Good old Kurt Russell.
Well, it was by mistake, so Kurt, let me look it up real quick. I want to see how old those breaks guitar. Priceless guitar, blah blah blah. Let's see, how old is it? Okay, I want to see. It was like they don't have it here in this article. That's stupid. It just says antique. But basically, it was like this super old guitar. 145-year-old guitar. So they had borrowed this guitar from this like museum place for this one scene and thing, and they had a bunch of duplicate or replica guitars, because there was a scene where like this person's playing the guitar, and then Kurt Russell's supposed to come over, pick up the guitar from them, and says like, "Music time's over" or something like that, and then he smashes it. But during the filming of the scene, nobody told him that they were going to film the stuff leading up to it, cut, replace the guitar that the character was using, and then they would continue. No one told him that, so he just thought the guitar she had was the replica. And so, like, he picks it up, takes it, and, like, does the scene where he smashes it. And they have the video. You can watch, like, the 9-second clip of it, and you see her reaction. But now I'm like, I can't remember if that is her reaction, if that scene is actually still in the movie, like, of the legit reaction from her. But you can see her, like, look to the left, like, she says, like, no, no, which she thought, like, oh, it was just the character saying it, because the character didn't want the guitar broken. She was, whatever. But it's like, now you realize, no, no, it's the 145-year-old guitar. And so they had originally told the museum place or whatever that, you know, hey, there was an accident on set. And they said, oh, okay, you know, they just paid the insurance cost of the guitar. But then when they found out how it happened, then that really annoyed them. So, like, all right, well, we're not going to loan out any of our stuff to any movie production ever again now.
So, oh my god.
Yeah. But that's like, it's such a good story though. I was like, it's like price a guitar and you just break it. Especially if that, now I can want to go back and rewatch that movie and just see if that reaction is still kept in there. Because they do that a lot for things that, like, especially if it's improv or there's a mistake that's done, if they keep that take in there. Like the Django Unchained bloody hand scene, they just kept that in there. But, but yeah, that's a.
Oh my god.
I know. It's
so bad.
It's, yeah. I love watching it, though. Just her reactions, like, because she looks to the left, like, she's looking at him. And like, no. And she looks over, like, what? And it's just like,
something bad has just happened.
No. But, yeah, that's definitely production. Or the crew, someone's fault and said, like, they should have told him. But I thought that was a funny story.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. but yeah, other than that, like I said, not much news at the moment. Hopefully we'll maybe get some more game announcements. I mean, now that they announced, you know, Doom and everything, they announced that, did we talk about that iOS Assassin's Creed they're doing? I don't think we did, but I don't remember too many details. I just know was it Assassin's Creed Legends or something like that? I don't remember. But
I don't even know.
Yeah, something like that.
I saw a passing glimpse of it in my Twitter feed. It was like Assassin's Creed on iOS, and I was like,
yeah, I'm not gonna waste my time with that. But, you know, at least this month. So yeah, we'll have next week. We have those releases, and then the 23rd we have Far Cry Primal. I'll be looking forward to that. Playing that, taming some tigers, making them fight. Good times, man. I really wish they just remaster 2 and 3 on PS4. That'd be so good, because I'd love to play 2 again, and then I'd love to go back and play like half of 3.
Half of 3
essentially, yeah, until Voss dies, and then just,
and the game's not good as good as anymore.
It's still good, but like all the stuff, I liked all the stuff with Voss. Like a lot of that stuff happens basically on the one island, and then once you go to the next island, it's basically the one thing I liked that they had in that game, that they expanded on it in Far Cry 4, was there's a scene where you go with I've talked about it before, but you have a flamethrower and you're supposed to burn down this crop of marijuana, like these giant fields of it to.
Oh yeah,
and,
yeah.
But you're getting high from the smoke, and they have a song from Bob Marley's Kid and Skrillex, "Make a Bum." It's playing, and it's like, but this song works really well with what's going on. And Jason Brody's just like, yeah, woo! Like he's getting high as shit. Your vision's getting kind of blurry and stuff, and it's just going after song. This and the song is just on repeat, but like it mm-hmm. works really well, and it's just so good because like this dubstep song, and. It was just so much fun. But then they expanded on that in Far Cry 4, where you just, there's a mission where you have to go, there's a couple. There's ones where these two guys, Yogi and someone else, boo-boo, no. But you go on these vision quests where you get high with them, and then crazy shit happens. And they're okay, these vision quest things, but there's this one mission where you can destroy this drug plant or take it over. And if I chose to destroy it, and when you go inside and destroy it, you essentially... You destroy all the ventilation systems, and then you go inside and you destroy the main production. But then it fills the whole place up with the smoke, and you just get high as shit. And then you hallucinate like a motherfucker in that game. And it's so good. It's like just the effects it has on the world. And like these guys show up and they're like, what are you doing? We didn't want this to happen. Like you accidentally like shoot them, but they're not real. But it's just the game's totally fucking with you. It's like someone's like, man, Kojima really messed with people in Metal Gear. I wanna do it even more. And it's just like that game just totally trips you out. It's so good. I love the effects. Just especially the splash of the colorful, like powder that they do. It's so good. I love that mission. I want to reload. Just go back. I wish I had a save point right before that, just so I could do that one mission again. It's so good. But yeah, looking forward to playing this. Also, interesting, so they're going to do another beta for The Division. A lot of stuff on that. I was listening to people talk about it and saying some stuff, how there's like these guys that were total griefers, just group. They'd scan basically a zone point into the area where you can PvP, and as people walked in, they'd just kill them. They wouldn't.
Oh, geez.
They had nothing to take, but they were just griefing. I thought that was funny. I was telling PJ, I was like, man, we should make separate accounts that are just griefing account, like a rogue account, to where we just go rogue constantly.
That's going to happen in any game like that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you have a transition into a PvP zone, there's always going to be griefers.
Yeah. But, I mean, at least in that situation, it's like, they're not, I'm not losing anything. So it's like, whatever, I'll just go a different route. It's not like, you know, they're camping extraction points and then taking all your shit. But that game's going to be really, I'm curious. I'll be like, of course, I'll be running with the crew the whole time. And then be like, hey, I'm going to, no nonsense. You get the fuck away from our extraction point. You come around, I'm going to fucking kill you. And then I thought about making one character that was like, just named Judge Dredd. And and just watch streamers and video clips of people griefing and going rogue. And then remembering their names and going hunting them down. And just be like, I'm law. And just kill
just
them,
obliterate them,
just, even if they're not currently rogue, just kill them when they're in normal state and I'll go rogue. It's like, I don't care. I'm like, I'm law. You did something. I'm it's like, I heard a story on the Rooster Teeth podcast one time. It was a super old podcast where Gus was telling a story about this guy he met who used to play Ultima. I forget which one it was, but he used to, was it Ultima or maybe it was Diablo 2 or Diablo rather, It was one of those. Anyways, this guy that used to go around and he would just kill people and take their stuff. And he was telling the story, how he would do this, how he'd kill these people in this game. And then he goes, but the way I see it, I'm karma's agent. I killed them because they had to have done something bad at one point. And then Gus is just saying how the guy was like totally crazy for having that line of thought. I was like, that's hilarious. I should do like, well, you did something bad and I'm punishing you for it. Or if they had like that, that character from Ultima where Richard Garriott's character that would just could come in and like kill you. I forget the name. Sir something. And it was like he'd eventually come out and deal swift justice. But it was a really funny story. But it's like that'd be great, just a team of people just going around like we're Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp and everybody's going around killing people. We're just taking them out. We're the marshals of the city. But I saw a nice video of someone doing a map size comparison between that GTA and Fallout 4. And it's obviously smaller than GTA 5, but that game is designed to be traveled around in vehicles, so it makes sense. So while it was essentially the size of the city, but not the rest of like the countryside and the whole top of the map, obviously Division's way more dense. And then he compared it to Fallout 4 because people were praising. It was funny, he was talking comments about people praising Fallout 4 and how it's bigger than Fallout 3. And then he was doing the same. He'd measure the same distance, overlay the maps, and then time how long it takes to get across. And they're basically the same exact size. But people are commenting about how small the Division is, even though the same kind of people praise Fallout for being how big it is. And it's like, obviously, there's more density to Division, even more so than Fallout, which Fallout had a lot of dense stuff in it with buildings you can go in the certain part of that city, but yeah, it was interesting. I mean, it looks like it's going to be a lot of stuff, especially with how many buildings you go into, but I'm definitely curious how that'll turn out.
It'll all depend on, for me, how it is solo, when I can't get a group of people, and how the PvP zones are solo, if it's going to be too much griefing, or if it's going to be still a fun experience.
Yeah, I can't imagine it'd be like, there'd obviously be some griefers, but I can think of the population would be so small that the odds of running into that kind of person would be super low. But then again, I'm curious if the worlds are going to be multiple shards or if it's just one. Like, it's just one server for everybody. I can't imagine they'll do that. I'd imagine it'd be like Destiny, where it's these different server shards, and every time you zone into a place, you get one by random unless you're in a party. Who knows? We'll see. But, all right, we need a single word. Before we go, let's see. Last time we had kitty.
And really?
This time, that's what it was last time.
This time. You were there. You can't be shocked.
We'll have...
So Zaya did come up with the one last time.
We'll have crotch shot. No, I'm just kidding. We'll have webcam. No. that was funny. Because normally, like, it'll show me when I'm doing my settings, it shows me. But that was weird. Also, it came out. It never did that before. Random. It's like, oh, here's your face. What?
It's your face.
Damn it. Okay.
I just liked your bad attempt at turning it off.
Well, first I was seeing because it froze. So, like, when I was watching it, because, like I said, typically if I go to my settings, it'll, like, I'm adjusting my volume. It shows me my camera, so I could see how the camera looks in there. But when I pulled it up, all of a sudden it was this tiny little window in the chat field, and I was like, but I'd never seen it because I don't Skype video chat. And all of a sudden it came up, and I watched it, and I'm watching it, and I see myself moving, but then all of a sudden it just freezes. And I was like, okay, did something go wrong? So I went up to kind of like move over the camera, and then nothing happened. And then once I was doing it, then all of a sudden it came back and clicked back on. So I guess it was just lagged while it was connecting to you guys. But I was like, What's going on? I was like, that's why I was kind of like waving. I was waving at it going like, why isn't it working? Because the light was green, because I have a little green light indicator on the top of the computer that tells me it's on, but it was just delayed. It was kind of odd. I was like, what is going on here?
JCM was like, hey, that's me.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit, it's me. Good thing I'm
that's
dressed.
That's my face. Good thing I have pants on.
Exactly.
It could have been much more dangerous.
Whoa, Jesus! Alt F4. Command W. But, anyways. All right. Well, I guess I'll wrap it up. Well, it's not, because we need Secret Word still, so...
Pantsless.
Just kidding.
We'll be just kidding. Secret Word. Okay, now we'll wrap it up. So, there we go. All right, well, thank you all for tuning in. Listen, thank you, Wisley, thank you, Zaya.
Yep.
And we will see you guys next time.
Later.
Bye!